Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. Participants will be in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session. At that time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one. Today's call is being recorded. If there are any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'd now like to turn the call over to Mr. Mike Madsen. Sir, you may begin.
Well, happy Monday to everybody on the phone. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to learn about our integrated service management assessments. You know, and I continue to travel around the country and into Canada, and the key message that's resonating with our customers is, you know, how do we offer a better class of service to our constituents when in today's environment we're struggling to keep up with the ever-increasing rate of change in an environment that's growing more and more complex every day. And one of the key benefits that we can offer to help our customers, you know, properly define what service management is and how we might begin that journey and get a positive payback is the Integrated Service Management Assessment. And I'm very happy to turn this call over to Chris Becker and Barbara Corte, who will take you through what this means.
Thanks, Mike. So just everybody that's on the call, if you could, you have the slide deck there in front of you. Flip over to chart number three. And just to kind of kick this off and get started into the presentation, we'll cover some objectives here up front. So what our goal here is to cover the ISM assessment process. What is it? What's the value of leveraging the Tiger-led ISM assessment with your customer? What all is involved, who should participate, and then what are some of the deliverables? And specifically, how can this help you here early in Q4 to supersize the deals that you're working on, grow the opportunities, ELAs, et cetera, and then also help you build a quality, healthy pipeline for Q1? So at the conclusion of this, you know, what we hope to have delivered to you is that you'll have a good understanding of what this is, and then, you know, most importantly, how to qualify and prepare and who to contact to schedule one of these ISM assessments for your customer. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Barbara for a couple of things to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. So this is Barbara Corte. I'm the Global Sales Executive for the Service Management Tiger Team, and I want to echo Mike in saying happy Monday, but more importantly, happy fourth quarter. So let's talk about how assessments can help you win business with your customers, hopefully this quarter, but also help you set up larger deals for next year as well. And so you'll see on chart four, you know, I laid out a few of the areas that an assessment can help you with. What you'll see is that the Tiger team is here to help you change the way that you're approaching customers from a product-led sale to more of a consultative approach where we go through workshops and assessments and business value assessments with customers to show them the differentiated capabilities that we have in the context of a strategy. It helps you sell higher in the organization because you can link the IT things that they're doing, all of those tasks that the operations people take on every day, link them to the business results that they can drive so that they're more relevant to the business, and you can then talk to higher-level executives both within the IT organization and in the line of business. And as you start to go through these assessments, what you find is that we can help you change things from just looking at individual products into larger suites of capabilities. It helps you grow bigger deals, and it helps you make money, and that's what we all want to do. I want everybody on the call to just blow out your quota and make a lot of money in fourth quarter, because then we'll all really be happy. If you saw, you know, the IBM stock is at an all-time high, and we want to keep growing that and just kick the competition here. And this is a way that we can do that, because this is really a unique capability as opposed to what our competitors can do. So let's look at chart five, because I want you to target the right customers. An assessment-based approach is not right for every deal and every customer, but think about some ways that we can help you with stretch deals or slip deals. Maybe we can really change the game. put ourselves way ahead of the competition by making our customers think differently about our capabilities. Are there customers that you want to develop a strategic partnership with? This is really the way to do that. It helps you really show how we impact their business results, and we can have better results for us and for your customer, and really show the benefits of that partnership. And one of the things that we try to do is deal clinics at the outset of every deal. And so take us on with that. Let us help you set the strategy overall with your customers. But you've got to do this fast. We're at the beginning of the quarter. If you want to have an impact, you need to be thinking about this and doing it now. Get engaged with deal clinics. Get engaged with assessments now so that we can close business. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to Chris, and he's going to talk about how these assessments actually work.
Thanks, Barbara. Thanks. So flipping over to chart number 6, let's kind of drill into this, and I'll give you a good explanation here of what the ISM assessment process looks like. So from a perspective of when the Tiger team engages, what we've done here is we've designed a consultative 3-step workshop, basically building a set of collateral that goes over mapping business to IT objectives, gap identification, solution architecture, ROI analysis, and business case design. This is key, first, in identifying what are the actual business objectives that your customer has put in place, and then for us to actually map those to the IT objectives and goals and initiatives that they're leveraging to meet those objectives. And in between there, we're identifying the gaps. As we start getting into the portfolio and where we would be able to then position our products and solutions, this is where we get into the solution architecture design, and then which is then preceded by a ROI analysis and a business case design. So flipping over to chart number 3, let's kind of get into what the value of the ISM assessment is. And I'll go through here in just a couple of charts and actually give you a use case that one of my taggers had conducted with a customer in the East IMT. But the benefit to the ISM assessment is it helps the IT executives that we're selling to align their capabilities to support the business initiatives and objectives in place. Most importantly, it helps provide the CEO with a holistic and big-picture view, which they in turn can then articulate that information back to the IT organization as well as the business organization. Not to mention, and this is something that I'll kind of highlight in the case study that I'll go over with you here in just a little bit, but most importantly, it facilitates a meaningful dialogue amongst the IT organizations as well as the business organizations, just in terms of what is IT doing for the business, what value are they bringing to the business, and what are their plans to increase that value in the future. So just to go over a couple of benefits to you and to IBM, as Barbara and Mike both stated, this has the ability to supersize the deals. And the use case that I'll cover with you, one of the main points here is that we were coming in with a point product solution. It was early in Q2. The deal was had relatively low odds, but going through this consultative workshop with the customer, it essentially put us in a position where we were now the trusted advisor, and we had the ability to begin positioning ourselves as strategic thinkers and influencers for our customer who is, you know, acquiring the software. So, you know, again, you know, these are key to building that partnership and trusted advisor role. Also, from an IBM perspective, when we talk about understanding our customer's business, this is key in what we're delivering. The level of service, the quality of service that we're delivering our customers is key. And to do that, it's very important that we understand our customer's business, the IT organization that supports that business, et cetera. And really, there's no better way than to do that with a consultative workshop and ISM assessment. So In addition, you know, this gives you a great opportunity to identify new opportunities, priorities, and initiatives within your customer's organization. Typically what we find when we go in and we conduct an ISM assessment, there may be one or two opportunities that are identified to begin with. Once we've done this gap analysis up front, we now begin to identify new opportunities that, you know, that we can then start targeting as well. So moving on to chart number 8, I'm just kind of drilling into this a little bit. What is involved with the ISM assessment? So I mentioned that it's a three-phased approach that we leverage. Basically, what we do is we start off first with a group assessment with the customer, and this is with the customer's organization. So there's, you know, IT executives, IT managers, and then some of the lower level folks that actually administer and conduct the care and feeding of the IT environment. Basically, bring them all in a room together and start going over, you know, what are some of their initiatives? How are they supporting the business? How do they perceive the gaps that they might have or any pain struggles that they're dealing with? And the reason why this is important is because it now kind of it gets everybody in a single room, and it allows them to work together and communicate these ideas that they might have or their perception of how the organization is defined, the various pains, gaps, et cetera. And oftentimes, and one of the things I'll go over in the use case as well, is what we find is what we might think our customers do this on a normal basis, however, they typically don't. You know, many of our customers still operate in silos, you know, and using the top-down approach to managing and communicating to the environment or their organization. And what we find is that rarely do they take the opportunity to bring everybody together collectively to talk about these things. And so that's kind of an area where this is both a value for our customer, but it's also a value for us as we're learning our customer's organization. The next thing that we deliver as part of this, once we went through this gap analysis session with them, is we essentially design a set of roadmaps. And the roadmaps are based on industry best practices, some of the insight that we've gleaned just from working within the various industries that our customers are in. And the roadmaps are really designed to help our customer build the prioritized objectives, the things that they need to do to fill those gaps in order to meet the business objectives. The second part of that roadmap is a preliminary solution architecture. And essentially what this is where we are now saying, okay, we understand what the gaps are. We've identified the appropriate roadmap to help you overcome those gaps, and here's the proposed solution that we would put in place to address those. Then the second part of this would be to then design out an ROI analysis on that proposed solution, as well as the actual business case that would support that. So there are actually a couple hard copy type deliverables, soft copy deliverables that we actually do give back to the customer as well, in addition to the post briefing that we do after the assessment. The first one is a detailed assessment summary, so any observations and recommendations that we've gleaned out of the assessment, we'll document those, put those into a deliverable as well. Again, these roadmaps that I mentioned earlier, these are part of the deliverable that we've documented and we'll hand back to the customer. We'll also, as part of this assessment and the group facilitated piece in the beginning of it, what we also do is then we also try to gather out of this project descriptions. These could be projects that they already have in flight, as well as new projects that we've identified that they should be considering. And so we'll provide a detailed project description for each of those. The preliminary solution architecture. By preliminary, what I mean there is that we're building the solution architecture based on the level of detail that we actually have about the customer's environment, which typically can be relatively detailed and be a great starter. Plus, it shows the customer, the more technical customer, how our solution may interface with existing investments that they already have within their infrastructure. The couple last things, the ROI analysis report. So this is to cover, the intangible, tangible type benefits, cost benefits, et cetera, of the solution and how it's going to meet the identified gaps. And then the actual business case design. And this is kind of two-part where we're essentially working with the customer to help them design out their business case, which then they will take along with the solution architecture and any other deliverable that we've given them to their executive sponsors to help fund the project. So moving on to slide number 9, what goes into an ROI business case? So this is the last piece here as part of the assessment of the third piece, which is often one of the most important. So first is the case for change. And so as we go through some of the first components of the assessment, we're identifying the gaps, the business objectives, et cetera. We're essentially gathering the information that's going to go into this ROI business case, the first point being the case for change. So what is it about the customer's environment that we're actually trying to change or improve upon, whether it's just possibly helping them reduce costs in certain areas or gain efficiencies out of others. Maybe they're launching a new service and they need support and assistance in building up the IT infrastructure that's going to support that new service, but they need to do it in the most cost-effective way. This is kind of where we state that high-level case for change. What is the actual project and what are we trying to accomplish? Project objectives, this is where we start getting into the more detailed component of this and listing out the actual objectives for the particular project. And then current issues and gaps. I mentioned earlier, this could be a simple case where the customer is actually launching a new service. So we're basically building out a brand new solution for the customer. There may not be any issues or gaps per se, but it's something that needs to be designed out and stated here. And then the fourth thing here would be the recommendations and the roadmaps. And so these would be either recommendations and the roadmaps for building out this brand new service or recommendation and roadmap for correcting a service that already exists that we may have identified gaps and issues. So flipping over to chart number 10, just to kind of give you an idea of how a typical ISM assessment process works. And also one thing that we found here in doing these is it's somewhat modular in that we might do a gap assessment. We might come in and do an ROI analysis or help design out a business case. They work really, really well if you put them all together. But at the same time, it's not necessarily required that you have one or the other. So they can be somewhat modular. But just to kind of go through what a typical ISM assessment process would look like, the first step would be the account strategy workout. This could be the deal clinic that Barbara was referencing early in the call. And then the next step, and during that account strategy and workout, a couple of things that we want to identify here is, one, is this really the right thing to do for the customer and for IBM? So is the customer in a position where they can take advantage of the output from an ISM assessment? In other words, is the CIO needing assistance with help, in designing out initiatives, identifying new initiatives, et cetera? Another piece of that could be more internal focused, is this end of quarter and you're looking to supersize a deal at the end of the quarter? These are all things that we kind of talk about during the account strategy workout, and then detail about the customer's environment. And I have a questionnaire at the end of this slide deck that'll kind of articulate the information that we're trying to gather. The next piece is the client discussion. And so the initial client discussion, typically what you're wanting to do here is solicit the idea that IBM would come in and offer this gratis ISM assessment to help them. And so we have an overview brief that you can leverage for that, as well as myself or any member of the Tiger team to go on those initial calls just to determine is this the right thing to do for the customer, as well as solicit this idea to the customer. Once we have buy-in at an executive level from the customer, typically what we'll move to next is a whiteboard / executive type briefing, where we're simply coming in and articulating you know, what it is that we intend to accomplish during the ISM assessment, and kind of start that high-level discussion with them about their infrastructure, their business, et cetera. Really, once we get into the vision and capability workshop, that's when we start getting to the actual mechanics of it and beginning the workshop with the customer. The vision and capability workshop, along with the architectural workshop, typically could be just essentially one, though we have broken them out here as two separate processes because they can be as well. But typically, what we try to do here, this is where we're gathering information, working in a two-way communication with the customer in this group-type setting where, you know, we begin talking about their business initiatives, business objectives, IT initiatives, IT objectives to support those business objectives, and then more detail about their infrastructure. And this is where really the formal actual gap analysis process would then take place. The roadmap development is typically something that we do internal, so off-site, away from the customer. And what we're doing here is we're essentially taking the information that we gathered out of the workshops, the face-to-face workshops that we conducted with the customer, and we're formulating a plan and this roadmap, which will then later come back and articulate to the customer. Through the roadmap design process, what we're doing is we're taking the key initiatives that the customer has presented to us, as well as the ones that we've maybe even suggested during the assessment, and we're essentially prioritizing those. And we're putting them in a nice step-by-step basis of, you know, in order to achieve this end state, these are the steps that we recommend that the customer takes to get there. And then this is the priority for each one of these projects within the defined roadmap. And then the last step here would be designing out the ROI and the actual business case. This is also something that we would leverage the data that we've already collected from the customer, and so we would actually design this back internally at IBM, so maybe off-site. However, what we found is typically this process, though we've already gathered a lot of the data during the vision, capability, and architectural workshops, typically this is also another opportunity for us to get back in front of the customer and spend a couple of more hours with them in designing out this business case. So though we might have enough information to build it, you know, without any more dialogue directly with the customer until we present it back to them, we typically like to get back in front of them and just, you know, work with them to kind of design it out. That way they can see what's going into it. They'll have additional input into the ROI component specifically, other than what they'd already provided us, et cetera. So that's typically kind of the best case scenario. So I'm going to flip over to chart number 11. Chart number 11, so this is the customer that I was referring to. This was a Q2 opportunity. One of the architects on my Tiger team, Chris Smith, was engaged here. The customer was Advanced Auto, which is out of the East IMT. And this essentially was a multi-day workshop. It was provided early in Q2 to paint the vision for the customer. There was a pending product deal that was on the table. We were running into some roadblocks. And so essentially the assessment was positioned to help IBM establish that trusted advisor role and also strengthen our relationship. Essentially, we wanted the customer to feel comfortable about making an investment with the IBM technologies, knowing that it's something that they can then leverage and grow on in the future as their IT needs change with the business. And so a couple of different things that we did here that Chris Smith was able to do along with the sales team was partner with the Advanced Auto Executive Management, first understand those business objectives, just as I had mentioned before, as well as identify the gaps in IT's capabilities from their perspective. And one of the things that was interesting that came out of this, and this was a quote that I had captured from the Tiger Team resource, was the CIO specifically stated, and just by the way, one thing I didn't mention here specifically was the CIO is actually very, very involved in this from the beginning, which is key to the success of all of these assessments here. Having that executive sponsorship and commitment to be part of the process is extremely key. This particular CIO, though, came back, and his quote was, "This is the first time that we've come together as a team to truly understand our gaps where our gaps are and how we can improve upon them. And that's what I was referring to earlier. What we found is that when we go meet with our customers, they, while they may say that they're working and communicating as an organization, when it comes to actually expressing the gaps and pain points and things like that, what we found is they're really not necessarily working together as the organization to communicate those. They're many times just working in silos. And the issue with this is you're only getting partial perspective on where these gaps might be, what the objectives may be, agendas, et cetera. But when you bring them all together in a room, they at least all have the opportunity to listen to one another, what one another's objectives are, how they relate back to the business priorities, where the organization members think that there may be pain points or gaps or things like that that need to be identified. And that's really important. And for this CIO, this was kind of an eye-opener for him, simply because, this is a practice that he's probably going to implement from this point forward, regardless of whether an assessment's actually going on. So basically, at the end of this process, once we provided the report, the assessment summary, and all of the deliverables, essentially what we were able to do there is just what we set out to accomplish. So we set the vision, we painted the vision, IBM's vision for this customer. The customer who was having some issues with moving forward with IBM technology at that point felt comfortable and confident, most importantly, that they were making a wise investment. A wise investment meaning it's something that they were purchasing and that they could build on in the future. And that's exactly what they did here. So this led to a large win in Q2. And in addition to that, the roadmaps that we had delivered to the customer, something that the customer has, positioned to us, that it's an area that they intend, to execute upon. So that just gives us more opportunity here to grow our install base. The customer didn't necessarily tell us that they were going to buy IBM for each of these additional roadmaps that we had selected, which that's fine. But the goal here is that now the customer has a real good idea of how they can achieve service management excellence and the steps that they can take in order to get there. These roadmaps often, they change over time. So in this particular customer's case, we delivered these in our quarter two. This could be something where over the next couple of years we continually work with them to just revise the roadmaps as they grow, which is, again, that's an objective that we wanted to set out and achieve in partnering with this client. That's the key thing. Okay, so moving on to chart number 13, what we're going to talk about here is this ISM assessment the right thing for your customer and the right thing for IBM? Long-term effect of these is that oftentimes we found it typically is the right thing because it does help our clients, establish that, that vision, build the roadmap, how are they going to get there, to the service management excellence, et cetera. So typically what we found it is. However, there's some caveats in this. And the caveats would be, is the CIO actually looking for assistance from IBM? And that's the key part. In order for the assessment to be successful, we have to have some level of executive sponsorship. And what I mean by that is if it's a competitive account, that's fine. However, if this is an account that would just typically go the opposite direction of IBM, not saying that this ISM assessment wouldn't be successful. However, we wouldn't necessarily have that real executive sponsorship to deliver a successful assessment. And so, while I've seen these actually foster, partnerships and strong relationships with our clients, at the same time, if we have executives within the accounts that really just don't want to have anything to do with IBM, which typically isn't the case, but if that is, these are typically not the key ingredient that's going to help with that. Let's see. So for Q4 deals, and this is what Barbara had mentioned as well as Mike in the beginning of the call, and this is really the key piece for growing Q4 deals, just as you saw with that advanced auto project that I mentioned earlier. If we're going to help influence Q4 deals, it's imperative that we do this quick, that we engage, that we have, you know, the list of customers that we're going to target, as well as the information about these customers, and we engage on these assessments with the clients very, very quickly in Q4. The alternative to that is that we engage them in Q4. However, what we're essentially been possibly going to be doing is influencing a Q1 engagement. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there so everyone knows that this isn't necessarily something that, you know, you would leverage 4 weeks prior to the close of a quarter, 3 weeks prior to the close of a quarter, you know, in hopes that that it would drive, you know, a new deal. Because it typically just doesn't work like that, especially when you look at the actual length of the assessment itself. The time for the assessment, just in terms of how long does one typically take, could be anywhere from 1 week, and this is internal, so off-site activities as well as on-site activities. It could take anywhere from a week to 2 weeks typically. The time spent on-site with your client is typically 1 to 3 days, depending on how deep of an assessment we're actually going to do with the client, but it's typically 1 to 3 days, with about a four-hour presentation at the very end of the assessment where we're delivering the materials, our findings, et cetera, to the executive management that had sponsored us. Another point here, too, where this might not be the best approach for your client is if they are in the habit of simply buying the lowest cost provider. In some cases, you know, this it could be an opportunity to change that a little bit, but most of the time, if the client's in the mode of simply buying the lowest cost provider, they're also typically maybe more, you know, commodity focused, which is, you know, typically what that means is they're going to be buying products. Maybe not best of breed products, but they're essentially going to be buying products. And so this might not necessarily be the best thing to put in front of them, though it might have an impact. It could influence possibly. So moving on to chart number 13. So who should attend these assessments? So the key ingredient here, and I've said this a couple of times now, is having that executive sponsor. So, you know, typically for the initial workshop where we're essentially going in and articulating what we plan to accomplish as part of the ISM assessment, this is where it's key to have that executive, IT executive, sponsoring us as part of this project, as well as, you know, pulling in their reports, their management teams, et cetera, into this, because that's where we really learn what the actual business strategy is, and they also can continue to sponsor us throughout the process as well. There's also a sufficient number of participants that would be required. Typically, that number is going to be between 5 and 20. It really depends on the size of the organization, though, and how the reporting structure has been divided out. You know, it may be a case where the customer essentially has a relatively straight-line reporting structure where, at the end of the day, all, you know, technical duties and ownership comes into just a couple of managers, and that may be where we only have 5 participants. In larger organizations where you have multiple management chains, et cetera, this is where you typically get into the larger participants. From an IBM perspective, typically what we're looking for here is, you know, the client executive as well as the Tivoli ESR. And then also, you know, it's also important to have the SWEDA and or the brand ITS focused with us, with the tagger that's going to be going on site. So just skipping on to slide number 16. So in terms of just the preparation and next steps, so what we've done here is I put together a questionnaire that you'll find in one of the appendixes. Typically what we want to be able to do is we first want to identify the client. So clients that you're working with who you initially might find to be a good fit for conducting one of these ISM assessments with. You can submit those clients directly to me or Barbara Cordy. And also another way to begin this could be through a deal clinic as well, right? We're going to want to do the workout session with you to begin with. So if you already have customers that are nominated for one of the hundreds of deal clinics that we have scheduled for North America, this, you know, may be an opportunity for us to also do the workout session at the same time for whether or not this client would be key for one of these ISM assessments. The worksheet that's at the back of this presentation, there's a couple of key things in there that we're really looking for, and that is, you know, first and foremost, that executive sponsorship. So do you feel that we would have the executive sponsorship to actually conduct one of these ISM assessments with your customer? And then a couple of other things as well, if you have them at this point, would be the key business and IT imperatives, definitions of the priority for each of those business initiatives from a high, medium, low, which is essentially how we're ranking them during the ISM assessment as well, and then any planning type information that you have from the customer on those on the projects that they've already defined. Again, what we look at are projects that are already defined and in flight, and in addition to projects that the client hasn't necessarily considered yet. So we're looking at kind of, you know, what's the current state, what's the current projects, but then also what's the future state, and then any additional projects to support that future state. and then also definition of partner as it compares to the various levels of adoption from the customer perspective. As far as logistics and scheduling, for Q4, it's key that we get these done very, very quickly. And so we have a call to action, which is essentially have your customers nominated, the clients that you're going to bring to us, have them nominated by October the 25th. So have them submitted to me, to Barbara, with that information by October the 25th, and then we'll begin, the ball rolling and going through conducting the workout sessions, the deal clinics, et cetera. Once we validated that the customer is going to be the right fit for this, then what we'll do is we'll want to engage directly with the client just to have that initial discussion to set the expectations of, you know, the value that they're going to get out of the ISM assessment, additionally, why is it important for them, et cetera. And then any expectations that they have on us, just to ensure that we're all kind of on the same page. So skipping on to slide number 17, this is the call to action. So I mentioned deal clinics. The ELA-focused deal clinics, this is an area where we do have significant opportunity to help grow some of these ELAs. As we find, some of the ELAs can be somewhat product-focused. So if we can get in there and work with the customer, kind of paint out the vision, design these roadmaps, conduct the ROI analysis, put together the business case, we'll have, a great opportunity to help you grow out the ELAs that you have. And then in addition to that, any slipped or stalled Q3 deals that have now rolled into Q4, this would be, a great opportunity for us to get in and possibly conduct one of these ISM assessments with them as well. Again, going back to that advanced auto, we get in there very, very quickly in the beginning of the quarter. We may still come in with a larger product sale, but at the same time, what we're doing here is we're painting out the vision. We're positioning ourselves for a much, much larger solution sale, if that's not possible within the current quarter. So number two, complete that service management assessment prep document, which I mentioned before. So it's forms in the appendix X and Y. And then also send those prep documents directly to me. So my email address is in here, and you can also contact Barbara or your sales leader, and we'll figure out, how to get that information back to me so we can get the ball rolling. Okay? So with that being said, I think that we were going to open this up for questions, if there were any. Operator?
If anyone would like to ask a question at this time, please press star then one. Please unmute your phone and record your name when prompted. To withdraw a request, once in queue, you may press star 2. Once again, it's star then 1 to ask a question at this time.
So this is Barbara. While we're waiting to see if there are questions, and I hope there are some, I just wanted to reiterate that we've been really successful with these assessments. When you do it right, you just line up opportunities like jets landing at the airport because customers really see the value of having this kind of strategy. And the other piece I wanted to talk just real quickly about is these deal clinics, because we'll help you do deal clinics not only for where you think you can do an assessment, but as Chris mentioned, you know, if you have an ELA, we're doing cloud foundation play clinics jointly with STG. So if you have something that, you know, you think is a very basic cloud opportunity, we can help you with those as well. So give us a call if you need help with deal clinics, because that's another tactic that we've found really helps us get ourselves organized, make sure that you have the right resources that you need, and a plan of action. So let's see if there are questions.
So far, there are no questions in queue.
Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining the call. I hope this is helpful. And make sure that you call either Chris or I if you need any help or if you have any questions after the call. Thanks.
Thank you.
This concludes today's call. You may disconnect at this time.